It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Much of Wisconsin is seeing improved air quality as wildfires continue to blaze in Minnesota and Canada, polluting air throughout the upper Midwest.
The recent fires have scorched roughly 70,000 acres in and around the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The region in northeastern Minnesota attracts thousands of Wisconsinites who flock there to paddle, camp, and enjoy nature.
Much of Wisconsin was blanketed in wildfire smoke late last week and over the weekend, leading the Department of Natural Resources to issue an air quality alert until yesterday evening.
Smoke pollution is set to improve today, but more than 900 wildfires continue to burn across Canada, and dozens are burning in Minnesota.
For the latest, we're joined by Dan Crocker, reporter for Minnesota Public Radio based in Duluth, who's been covering the fires in Minnesota. We're reaching him in Ely, Minnesota. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. You've reported more than a dozen wildfires are burning in the Superior National Forest and the Boundary Waters is closed. Parts of the Superior National Forest are closed. What is the latest on the blazes?
Yeah, it's they're still burning strong here. 70,000 acres, as you mentioned, have burned already. For context, that's about the size of the entire cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Wow. There are about 800 firefighters from around the country here on the ground. So it's an all hands on deck situation. I was here last week and the fires early last week, it was 100 degrees here. Winds were raging and the fires ran miles in one day. And that's what sent up the huge plumes of smoke that went into Wisconsin and elsewhere. And the situation has improved. The weather's moderated. It's cool and wet here today. The air quality is much better. But firefighters are stressing that this is going to be a long fight. We still have a lot of weeks of hot weather ahead of us. And they're saying these fires are going to be burning for weeks, if not months.
Tens of thousands of acres, as you mentioned, have burned in the Boundary Waters region in Minnesota. Can you talk more about what those conditions were that ignited the fires in the Boundary Waters?
Yeah, so there was a storm that passed through in early July that had literally thousands of lightning strikes around the forest. And the conditions were just, to be honest, kind of surreal. I mean, 100-degree temperatures up here are unheard of. It was incredibly dry, incredibly hot for this type of year. And those lightning strikes started a lot of small fires, and they were largely under control until that weather picked up last week that I mentioned, where these incredibly strong winds, incredibly hot temperatures, and just sent these fires raging. I mean, fires are a natural part of the ecosystem up here, but we tend to get them early in the spring before spring greenup, or late in the fall, late in the summer, early fall, when things get really dry. It's very unusual to have fires of this magnitude during this time of year.
So hundreds of firefighters, about 800 you mentioned, battling these blazes and putting up perimeters. I imagine they have to make some hard choices, some strategic choices. What are they focused on saving?
Yeah, they've been focused. I mean, obviously, firefighter safety, safety of folks around here is a priority, but they're really focusing on areas where the fire could run into places where there are cabins and homes and resorts. So they've been working hard to protect structures out in front of the fires where the fires could get to. So if they did make it to those structures, there would still be a chance of saving them. That's been a real priority for them right now. There's one wildfire called the Thumb Fire burning up in the northern part of the Boundary Waters Wilderness near the border. They haven't really been able to do much with that because it's burning in a remote area. They've been focusing more where the fires could reach into some of those populated areas.
And we're reaching you in Ely. What impacts have you seen on people, on businesses in the area? I mean, this is a hugely outdoors community.
That's right. And it's going to be a big economic toll. The Boundary Waters Canoe Area has been completely closed now since early last week. It's going to be closed through at least Friday, likely much longer. And that affects a lot of seasonal business up here. There are lots of canoe outfitters who they make their hay during these few months of the summer when 150,000 folks from around the country come to visit the Boundary Waters. There's a big blueberry festival here this weekend, big arts festival that attracts tens of thousands of people. That's been canceled. So it's going to be a big economic toll, not only now, but likely for the rest of the summer.
What about the canoeists? Because there was a big evacuation of these paddlers. Have they been safely evacuated?
Yeah, I asked that of the Forest Service yesterday. They'll never know 100% sure because they don't keep tabs on everybody individually, but thousands of canoeists did evacuate in front of the fires. I talked to some folks It was a pretty close call for some people. There were some pretty dramatic escapes where folks were literally paddling through fire. But as far as the Forest Service knows, everyone's been accounted for. All the outfitters have said that all of their clients have been accounted for. So that's good news.
Dan, before we let you go, as you said, there is more fire season ahead. We've learned in recent days it could take until snowfall for these wildfires to fully extinguish. Are these blazes here to stay until the weather turns?
Most likely, yes. That doesn't mean they couldn't get contained. Like, they could get containment lines around these fires at some point, and they will. But the fire is burning so deep in the ground, like all that organic duff layer of the forest, 2 to 3 feet into the soil, the fire is burning down in there. So that's going to take a long time for that to go out. Even when firefighters get containment lines around, it's going to likely take lots of heavy rain, if not snow, to actually extinguish all these wildfires.
Dan, thank you for your reporting. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Dan Crocker is a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio based in Duluth, covering wildfires in the Boundary Waters and Superior National Forest. We reached him in Ely. Now for a look at the impact of smoke from these fires, we zoom in on southeastern Wisconsin. Liz Adams is acting director of the Racine County Office of Emergency Management. Liz, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So yesterday, air quality in Racine County was in the unhealthy range. I understand the county has dealt with some of the worst air quality in the state throughout this week of smoke pollution. How bad has the smoke been this last week?
It's been pretty bad, especially for, you know, those who have respiratory conditions or are, you know, otherwise more susceptible to the effects of the smoke. But really for anyone, it's at unhealthy levels. So we've had, you know, quite a few events get postponed or canceled just to keep people safe.
How have you dealt with the smoke from an emergency management standpoint?
From an EN standpoint, there's not really too much that we can do. It's not like we can cart out giant fans and blow the smoke away. But we have been providing N95 masks to our first responders and other county employees who spend a lot of their workday outside. We've also just been coordinating with our other partners to make sure that people have resources like that should they need them.
Are you going through masks? What has that supply been like?
Right now, we have a good supply. Still, we have quite a few left over from COVID, so we've been able to use up those. If the smoke were to continue much longer, we probably would have to look at, you know, getting more of those resources in place, looking at ordering some more.
Liz, turning to another weather hazard impacting Racine, in April, the storms that caused an estimated $20 million in damage across Racine, Bayfield, Manitowoc, and Marathon counties. We learned last week Racine County was denied the FEMA assistance funds to address these damages. Racine County, one of four counties, denied that FEMA for damages from storms in April. How much money was denied? What can you tell us here?
Yeah, so we were unfortunately denied because after FEMA came and did their assessment of our damages, they determined that we hadn't met our eligibility threshold that's federally set. So for us in Racine County, our threshold is about $980,000. And they determined that we had actually only gotten about $870,000 worth of damages.
That is really close.
Yes, it is.
What impact will this denial have on county finances and on your residents?
It could definitely be very stressful for county finances as well as municipality finances. As far as county-owned assets go, most of our damages came from damaged roads and bridges, culverts, things like that. I don't have the exact breakdown of numbers in front of me at the moment, but our total damages for county roads comes out to about a third to a quarter of the annual DPW budget. So that alone is, you know, a significant burden on the county.
Has the county gone ahead and made those infrastructure repairs? What is the status of repairs?
For most of the smaller projects, most of them have been completed at this point. I believe the largest project, which was a failed culvert, is still underway. They don't have the resources to fix it in the county, so they'll have to contract out. And so they're still in the process of finding the contractor, going through bids, all of that.
So the FEMA official said damage to public infrastructure in Racine and other Wisconsin counties lacks the severity and magnitude to warrant federal assistance. What do you make of that assessment?
Yes, that's what their assessment says. For us here in Racine, because we were so close to meeting our threshold, we are going to be appealing, which basically means that we'll be submitting additional documentation to show that we did meet the severity to warrant assistance. So we'll be going through that process the next couple of weeks.
How long does the appeals process take?
Usually a few weeks. It's a very quick turnaround from the moment you hear that you've been denied assistance. You have 30 days to file an appeal. So our appeal would be due no later than August 7th.
What other options do municipalities in Racine County have to pay for these damages without this FEMA assistance?
Unfortunately, there's not too many other options. There are some other grant programs that could possibly be an option. We could look into, maybe restructuring some budgets. That would be on the municipality level, of course. I don't really have too much say over that. But it is really hard when you are impacted by a disaster like what happened in April and you don't know where the money is going to come from.
Liz, thank you for this update. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Liz Adams is acting director of the Racine County Office of Emergency Management. Earlier, we heard from Dan Crocker, a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio based in Duluth, who's been covering the Boundary Waters wildfires as we've watched those plumes of smoke move through Wisconsin and the impact.